right, everybody, this is Chase March, and I'm here with Rob Threezy. How's it going, man?
It's going pretty good. Cold weather here in Toronto. But
yeah, it's crazy. I was out running in shorts like the day before, and it's like hovering around zero today. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, man.
Wacky weather.
It's the harp.
Anyway, man, tell us about what you do.
Well, first of all, yeah, I'm Rob Threezy, DJ, producer, remixer. Anything involving music, man, it's me, you know. Just stay underground. It's where it's at, you know what I mean? Commercial's cool, but after a while, it's kind of sad to sell yourself, you know?
Definitely. I'm all about underground hip-hop mostly.
Oh, yeah.
So I just discovered your stuff very recently. Jessica hooked me up with your latest EP. Let's Go
Ravers.
Let's Go Ravers, yes. And there's some nice tracks on there.
Thank you.
My name's Chase Marks, so your lead single off that seems to be The Chase. That song's not about me, is it?
<That's true. laughs> I didn't even think about that. That's good. I dedicated to you.
Yeah.
Chase, it came out like, I think like about 2 years ago. It was released on vinyl on Old Head Records. Yeah, 2 years ago, along with Sega, Tamil, Timbala, you know, all the club heads from the East Coast. Yeah, Jersey, Philly, Baltimore, you know.
Yeah, so you're from Chicago.
Yes, I am.
But it says you're like big into Baltimore club.
Yeah,
kind of an influence for you.
Yes, yeah, I would have to say that because it hits harder, you know. I mean, it's a different style of house music. It's breaks, you know, added, you know, I guess just club breaks. But it does hit hard, man. I don't like any soft, you know, track. I like bangers, you know. I like stuff that hits, you know, make people want to dance, not just like, oh, okay, yeah. Smoke a joint to this, you know, whatever. But I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to.
So your music's all about getting people to dance, right?
Oh, yes.
So you do a lot of live shows?
Yes, I do. Mostly in the States. Came to this Canada tour because I got booked in Nelson, Toronto, and Montreal. I was supposed to do Ottawa, but I guess that didn't go through. But it's okay, man. Come back later, you know. I mean, I can't say I'm not having fun because, man, Canada's been treating me really, really good.
Excellent. So, I did a little bit of production myself back in the day. So, what kind of gear? Do you mind telling us what you use?
Yes. I use Logic. That's my baby. Logic. Started off with MPC. I actually did a couple of hip-hop beats on the MPC, I'm not going to lie. But Logic, I use a lot of compressors that you would say, like, you know, hardware. As far as my sound cards, like inside my Mac, if you want to get into detail, I do have UAD cards. I use the Apogee Ensemble, you know, to record vocals too, you know. I do basically anything you guys want, you know. I do have a lot of plugins. Right now I'm investing on buying a couple synths, even though people say, why, you're gonna waste your money, but hey, there's nothing better than, you know, feeling the gear and stuff. But yes,
definitely. So do you use samples in your production?
Oh yes, I use samples. Samples are good. I think samples are good. You know, just, you know, take a kick, sample it from another producer's track, beef it up, do whatever you want with it, make it your own. I don't think there's any wrong with sampling. A lot of hip-hop guys sampled back then, you know, old records, vinyl and stuff like that. I do the same. I'm pretty sure everybody else does it, you know, so.
I love sampling.
Oh, yes.
It seems that a lot of producers these days are getting away from it, and they're producing their own sounds, they're using live bands, and it's a shame, because I think sampling is actually, you know, something that we should be able to do. Like, taking something old and making something new from it is a lot of what DJ culture is about.
Yes.
So,
exactly.
It's cool to see. Yep. Speaking of DJ culture, what do you think of DJ Hero?
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I've tried it. It's a little hard, I'm not going to lie, because, I mean, it's virtual. You know, you got to kind of, you know, it's on your Xbox or whatever, but you'll get the hang of it. It's cool, though. I like it. It's entertaining, man. But sometimes I think it's going to take away from, like, the real essence of DJing on vinyl, you know?
Yeah, that's what I think, too, because, I mean, I played in some bands before. I like rock bands. You know, the video game doesn't really doesn't really simulate a rock band experience.
Yes, it does, yeah.
You're playing in that, you're looking at the screen, you're only paying attention to what you're doing, you're not playing off of the other guys. And DJ Hero, you're not using the crossfader way you normally use a crossfader. It's kind of silly. So, like, some of the kids, because I'm a teacher in my class, they're like, I slide that thing when I'm supposed to slide that thing.
So yeah,
it's like, they're like, I bring in a record, and they're like, wow, that's a big CD. So, in some ways, it's not really doing its job but I guess for some, it's kind of an introduction to DJ culture, and maybe that in itself can be a good thing.
I mean, yeah, yes and no. I say yeah because on there, it has some of the most, like, demanding DJs on it. Like, people, like, you know, I'm pretty sure, like, Dave Guetta and, like, Armin Van Buuren and all the big star DJs and stuff, you know. And that's pretty good, you know. I think it opened kids' eyes, you know, into the DJ world, and that's what it's at, you know.
Definitely. So, one thing I don't understand, because I'm not so much into, you know, club DJs and after-party DJs and the kind of music you do. I'm more into hip-hop and things like that. But how does that music get consumed? Because it's more so, like, about, like, what DJs used to do with hip-hop. It's more about the live experience thing, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So, but you do have CDs out, and how do you find, how do those sell? Do people pick those up at your gigs, or are they in stores? Like, how?
Yeah, before I started actually doing tours and getting booked outside of Chicago, I kind of had to build a following in my city first, you know. I always made mixes, you know, ever since I started, you know, classics, you know, from the 80s, the 90s, and 2000s, you know. I'm 21. People just follow you, you know, because they see that, you know, you're doing something different. You're not really playing what everybody else plays, but you're still kind of keeping it fresh. Not too commercial, not, you know, it's good, you know, it's still underground. Kind of just have to build a following, and people just follow you, man. If they're dedicated to your music, you know, they're going to follow you regardless. As far as the whole, like, internet and people knowing who you are across the world, I say blogs are the ones that really put you on the map. They kind of, you know, give you the lead. Then from there on out, it's whatever you make of it, you know, and that's just how you distribute everything else, you know, so.
Yeah, do you much in the way of online promotion yourself?
Yes, I do, actually. I don't have a manager. I'm not under an agency. I don't have nothing. I do all my bookings myself. Everything is me, 100% me.
Is there any artist you'd like to work with, maybe? Or do you do remixes for artists and things
yes,
like that?
Artists that I would like to work alongside with, I would say would have to be, like, you know, Steve Angelo, Afrojack, Chucky. Dudes mainly, like, in Holland, you know, because they're really bringing Chicago House back up. I mean, not Chicago House, but house music in general back up to where it's supposed to be, where it had supposed to have been, you know, a long time ago. But they just have a really, they have a particular sound that a lot of people like. I don't know what it is. It just hits harder, man. It's bigger, you know. It's digestible. But yeah, it would have to be those artists. You know, it would have to be, you know, like I said, Steve Angelo, you know. Maybe Dave Guetta, maybe. If he doesn't go too commercial. Afrojack, yeah, Chucky, like I said. And anybody in Holland, you know, like Bart Beamore or everybody else. Those are really the guys that I play, you know.
Nice. So, it's interesting because to me it seems like house music is kind of buried. Like, you know, it seems like when I was a little bit younger, like, we actually had some dance stations. Like, you know, there was one in Burlington that was, you know, Dance 108, and then it became Energy 108, and then it became a Top 40 station, and then it became a country station. And it's like, okay, so where is house music these days, you know? Like,
oh, yeah. There was a gap. I think that there was a gap in between, you know. There was a gap, and I don't know what happened to it. I don't know. It's good that it's coming back up, because I see it coming up stronger than it is, and it's just, now all these Dutch guys are calling it Dutch house, but really, the sound that I listen to when they put out their music, it kind of sounds like old Chicago hard house, and I mean, they say it's Dutch house, but it really isn't. It comes from Chicago, you know. Chicago's the mecca of house music, it always will be, but they have their own little style into it, and I mean, that I like it. I like what they're making right now, you know. I mean, I love it. Just don't call it Dutch House, guys. It's house music. That's it. Not Dutch House.
I think a lot of my listeners aren't really familiar. We used the term a little bit earlier, Baltimore Club, because I think I went to your MySpace of it, and it described your sound as Baltimore Club fused with classic rave samples.
Oh, yes.
So a lot of people don't really know, I think my listeners in particular, what is Baltimore Club?
Baltimore Club, honestly, it's a mixture. It is a mixture between hip-hop and house. How, more like house club, like clubhouse, you know, stuff like that. It's at like 128 to like 135, 140 BPMs. It's really hip-hop influence. I will not lie about that. A lot of samples, a lot of drum breaks. Just all about that, man. Just it's hip-hop, you know. It's basically breaks, you know, with like not funk or anything. It's just breaks. Breaks and hip, you know, and heavy kicks. A good example who started this Baltimore Club, you know, would be Scotty B. He's from Baltimore. He's one of the pioneers of this. You know, he told me, you know, we talked here and there. And I had even asked him what it was, and he told me it's a mixture between, like, hip-hop and breaks and just heavy kicks, you know, sampling everywhere.
Nice. Awesome. I really like that when we can get back to that, because that's, like, kind of the essence right there where, you know, breaks really started the entire DJ culture, and then that kind of split off into different genres of it, and, you know, from, you know, even like the early hip-hop stuff, and kind of some of that hip-hop did have a lot of house influence too, like Afrika Bambaataa and where it kind of branched off from that.
Yep.
Anyway, I'd like to drop one of your tracks right now. So this is Let's Go Ravers, title track off of the latest EP from Rob 3Z, and this is Chase March, and we'll be right back. that was Let's Go Ravers from Rob Threezy, and I'm lucky enough to be sitting with Rob Threezy. He's going to be spinning a little bit later tonight. This is kind of new for me too, because I haven't really been to a loft after a rave party. So this is
a big loft, man.
Yeah,
this is how we do it in Chicago too. I mean, I feel like I'm home right now.
Nice. Yeah, I've never been to one of these before, so
it's gonna get crazy.
All right, we'll see how that goes. Anyway, so you've been making a lot of noise. I was doing some research for you, and you seem to be having records appearances like in a lot of different records and things. So are you on a label right now?
I am. As far as being signed to a label, I would just have to say it would be just TNA and Man Recordings from Belgium with Daniel Hoxman. He's the one that kind of also, you know, we started clicking because he told me he knew Diplo. And through Diplo, I mean, everybody came to me through him, man. Like, him and this other guy, Donna Summer, the one that I'm signed to as well, a night shifter's from Berlin. Him and Diplo, they're the ones that really put me on the spot with everybody else. And now because of them, I mean, I'm lucky to be doing what I'm doing, and I'm having fun with it, man.
Yeah, so the TNA label, like T and A, they're both like DJs, right?
Oh, yeah, Titsworth and Ayers, not Tits and Ice Guy.
Yeah, so, and they both actually remixed one of your tracks on your EP there.
Yes, they have.
So it's kind of nice to see all that, you know, fellowship, I suppose, there.
Yes.
DJs. Do you find that a lot? Do you find, like, DJs just, like, you know, there's a fellowship there, or is it more competitive?
It's, to me, it's fun, but at the same time, I think it's a competition. I mean, I love having fun with it, but at the same time, I do take it seriously. I don't like slacking off. A lot of DJs really have, you know, like, big egos, and it's like, oh, yeah, this and that, and who are you? But you know what, man? We all come from, you know, the same music culture. You know, I listen to the same stuff you do. Keep it real with me. You know, I keep it real with you, and let's just have a good time. But at the same time, let's be serious. Let's, you know, stay on this business. So.
Nice. So do you work with vinyl?
Yes, I do. I started off doing vinyl when I was 15. You know, not that long ago. I'm only 21. I started doing vinyl. I started off actually with classics, old Italo classics from Italy, as you would say.
Nice. Is that something that it was an influence at home? Like, did you? Because I know when I first started messing around with the turntable, it's because it was my grandma's, you know. And
yes.
I put wax paper down to slip back. So did you have those records at home and just start that way?
The way I started, it was weird the way I started. I had bought my first turntables. They were Numarks, TTX-1s. Actually, they were pretty cool. Not belt-driven. They were just direct drive. I had three records from my uncle, Jose Two Hype, that he had given my father when he had slept over one evening, because he was playing in Chicago, and I was really not that old enough to remember. I just know that he had left them there, and I remember seeing them in my dad's room. I'm like, wow, I wonder what these records are, what they do. I didn't know. I was a little kid. I got my turntables. I had three records for about a good, like, half a year, and I learned how to make, like, I had learned how to mix those three records within, like, 6 months, and I taught myself everything I knew. And yes, I did actually. I started off just with three records, and from there on out, I just started buying more and more vinyl. Chicago House classics had a real big influence on me because that's what I did grow up with. My parents, that's all they listened to. My aunts, uncles, friends. And it was just keeping it Chicago, you know? I mean, just underground Chicago House classics. From there on out, it just took off.
Nice. So, do you dig for samples then?
Yes, I do. Sometimes here and there. If not, I'll buy samples online, or I'll get them from my guys, you know, from the rest of the Ghetto Division crew. We just all share, like, the same libraries, you know, but still add our own little spice to it. But yes, I do. I do, you know, I do shop for samples. You know, I go to gramophones, and I used to go a lot to Hot Jams. But kind of got into a big mess there, and just keeping it fresh, you know, samples are good, like I said.
Yeah, so the Ghetto Division crew, they're all from Chicago?
Oh, yes. Well, actually, we're all not all related. Ghetto Division is Moon Man, Charlie Glitch, Mad Jazz, Rampage, Louis Q, M-Doc, Sigma, and me, Rob Therese, you know. There's eight of us, actually. So,
you guys been making noise for some time now?
I mean, I hope so. If people are writing to us and liking our music and buying our music, I mean, hopefully it's getting positive feedback, you know, which it has been, so.
Yeah, because I noticed you've got, if you Google you get quite a few hits, and it says that, you know, you dropped your first song 2 years ago, first release, Love to the World.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, my girlfriend told me to remix that. She's a breakdancer, and I was like, what is this song? I don't know what it is. And she's like, I'm telling you, it's a good song, you know, if you want to do club music, and they'll like it. And I was like, all right, cool. I gave it a shot, and I was like, wow, a lot of responses, like, oh, my God, I want to release that. I'm like, okay, cool, let's do it. And it just, from there, too, it was just like, wow, you know, I guess everything I'm making is good. You know, I'm not going to say everything I make is good because I don't judge myself. I just do what I got to do, have fun with music, and just keep it fresh, you know, just do me, and that's it.
Yeah, that's what music should be about. I mean, if we're producing music or we're doing these segments, it's about having fun, you know? And that's what music is these days, more so than before, because, you know, like 5 years ago, I was actually, you know, thinking that, you know, music industry is kind of dead, and, you know, nothing new is going to come out, because who's going to want to perform music when everyone's stealing it?
Oh, yeah.
But I don't feel that way anymore, and it's nice to see, because, like, every day there's something new in my inbox, and every day a lot of it's trash, but, you know, you search through stuff, and you get, there's some really good music being produced these days.
Yeah.
Like, I'm feeling really good about the music industry, and not so much that it's an industry, it's just that we're having fun with it, and you can tell the artists that are doing it for the love and not for the money.
Oh, yeah.
And that just shines through, and we need more artists like that.
Yes, yes. Of course. We do, man, because there's a lot of people that flip-flop, man, and I don't know, I really don't like that, you know. I'm staying true to what I know, you know, and having fun with it, keeping it fresh, man, just do you.
Definitely, definitely good advice for everybody out there. Anyway, we've been talking for a while, so I think we should drop another track.
Your Love, Your Love, Your Love.
Your Love.
Your Love, yes. That's another one. That's a good one, guys. That's a really good one.
All right, so this is Your Love. It's from Rob Threese. Hope you enjoy the track. This is Chase March, and we'll be back to talk some more right after this song.
Don't love me. jealousy. To you makes me love to me. When you touch me, oh how it rush me. Never knew of ecstasy. To you makes me love to me. Never knew of ecstasy.
Yes, that was Your Love by Rob Threasy, and Rob Threasy's in the house right now. How you doing, Rob?
Good, and you? How about I'm doing really good.
Nice, yeah, it's nice to be able to sit down and talk to some real DJs tonight, so this is pretty cool. Yeah, and if you like what you're listening to, don't forget to check out Rob Threasy. You can find his albums online, he's got a MySpace page.
Oh yeah, myspace.com/RobThreasy. Twitter.com/RobThreasy and Facebook.com/RobThreasy.
Nice. You like Twitter?
It's cool, man. I need more followers, guys. Come on. You're killing me out there.
Yeah, I really like Twitter. I like the interactivity of it. I've actually discovered quite a few things on Twitter that I might not otherwise have discovered.
Twitter's, I don't know, it's weird, man. I mean, I was put onto that by Dirty South Joe, which is Sega's manager. He's like, hey, get a Twitter. And this was like about a year ago. And I'm like, what's Twitter? Twitter this. He's like, dude, it's just keep up to date. I made one. I didn't use it for about 5-6 months. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, do you have a Twitter? I'm like, actually, I do have a Twitter. Oh, you should start using it. Okay, cool. Well, I already had one like 6 months ago.
You know what's interesting? I had a computer problem with my Mac. And I just I twittered about it. I'm like, what's going on with this? I had like 3 replies almost right away that fixed my problem for me. It's like, it's cool. Like, where else can you get that immediacy?
Yes.
You know? And today I went on there and Leonard Nimoy was a trending topic. And usually if there's a famous person trending, it's usually bad news. So it's
yeah.
Like, oh, what the heck is that? And everyone was just wishing him happy birthday. And he was like trending.
Everyone's on Twitter now, man. Everybody.
Yeah.
My grandma's even on there, I think.
Oh, yeah? Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so anyway, this is also going to be up on chasemarch.com so people can download the podcast for free there and read the transcript because I'll type it all up so people can read it and listen to it too.
Oh, that's a lot of typing.
Yeah, it is.
I got to keep it brief. No.
No, it's cool. All right, so... Yeah, the current state of music consumption is you know almost that people don't really care anymore. You know, it's just like it's so easy to download stuff that like I've downloaded stuff quite frankly that I haven't listened to. So it kind of makes it hard to find sometimes hard to find stuff. So how do you feel about downloading? Like if people are finding your stuff and downloading it as opposed to maybe buying it.
Blogs are cool. They get you the exposure, but to a certain extent, because then, I mean, I don't know, it's just, like, you put all your love and, you know, you're sweating all that into a track, and for it to be blogged within 2 minutes and then have 4,000 downloads, and it's just like, okay, where am I going to go from here? It doesn't really make sense to me. I prefer blogging, but in a way where it's just like you just get a little preview of the track, you know, like a little intro and outro, and that's it. But I mean, a lot of people do want to blog your stuff these days, and I mean, there's a lot of haters out there too, you know, like, oh, you know, this track sucks because, you know, just because they blogged it on a website that they weren't blogged on. And I mean, you need haters, you know what I mean? It just makes you more, like, I guess more demanding, you know, in the States. Like, oh, wow, you know, I mean, that's what I feel. Yeah, that's about it. But I mean, if sales are going good, you know, and I mean, you're doing what you got to do, you know, on Beatport and all that, where everybody goes to, it's good. You know, there is a lot of websites out there that can promote your music the right way, but then there's also blogs that just really, hey, you know, check me out, you know, this is my blog, I'm putting this song out because I want you to hear it, and then they don't give the artist the recognition for what they did.
Yeah, and there's a lot of consumers like that too, where, you know, they'll just download it and they won't even think about it anymore. And what I'm saying is that if you like an artist, you should support the artist, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean you have to buy their stuff, but you should come to their show.
Oh, yeah.
If you see a DJ spinning, come to the show.
Yeah, see, you know, what he's about. Yeah. You know, check him out.
Definitely. If you like what you hear, go find out more. Go to the Twitter. Go to the MySpace and find out some more.
Yes.
If you do have a blog, you know, you can big up somebody without giving all their stuff away, too. So I think some people need to realize that, right?
Oh, yeah.
I get kind of upset when bloggers repost stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, one blogger will come out and download it, and a million people will link to their file without linking to their blog. And that's equally wrong.
Yeah. You know? I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's crazy because, I mean, I blog, but I don't give away stuff. Like, I do these interview segments, and we give that away, but we're really learning all about the artists that we talk about, play a few of their tracks, and then you got a, you know, a 30-minute or an hour MP3 to listen to. It's a little bit different than giving away your EP or your album.
And there's also people that make fake email addresses that say, hey, this is such and such, you know, let me get your EP, and then when you, you know, find out, like, oh, wow, you know, this person just, like, yeah, just screwed me over. It's happened to me a couple times. I actually got sent a couple of tracks that were mine that people said that were theirs, and I didn't know. I was just laughing. You really can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is what it is. I mean, that's how they're gonna be, I guess. You can't change that person, you know. But hey, you know, I still got love for everybody, and that's just about it.
Definitely. Yeah, because it's about the music. It's about creating. And I think I actually feel bad for people that don't have an outlet to express, because, I mean, I'm like writing these days, but I used to produce and I used to DJ, and you know, but you have to have a passion. You need to be able to share it. And that's what I'm trying to do with these radio segments and the podcasts and the interviews and the blogging and writing my novels and things, is just expressing myself. And I like to be able to connect with artists that are passionate about expressing themselves as well.
Yes.
No matter what genre they're performing it in. So it's really been interesting talking to you, because normally, you know, this is a little bit outside of my realm. But I think everybody should do that. Every now and then, you should pick up a book you wouldn't normally read. Every now and then, you should visit an artist's website that you wouldn't normally listen to and give it a chance.
Oh, yeah, and definitely.
Yeah, and try to become more open-minded, because people that only listen to one thing, you know, that's...
It's really hard to convert them, man.
Yeah, it is. And I remember there was a point in my life where I wouldn't listen to anything except hip-hop, and it was East Coast hip-hop, and that's it. You know, and it's like...
Yeah.
You know, now I listen to everything a little more open-minded, as I guess, when it comes to music. But at the same time, I'm a little more closed-minded too, because my definition of hip hop.
You're picky. You have your trained ear. You know what you like and what you like, what you don't like. If you don't like it, you're not gonna be like, oh, that's whack. Maybe in your head you will, because I mean, I say that sometimes. I'll be like, oh, that track's whack. But that's just to me, you know. I'm not going to tell everybody and their mom, you know, like, hey, you know, that track's horrible. You know, if I do have a picky ear, guys, I'm sorry if I don't accept all promos, if I don't play your tracks. So it's just, I'm picky as much as I am with, you know, Chase over here. I know he's picky too. That's good. Picky's good.
But that's what DJs should do. I mean, KRS-One even says that on the DJ with DJ Revolution. It's like, you know, so many DJs, especially commercial DJs, are almost handcuffed.
Yeah.
You know, they have to play a certain song. They have to play this playlist. And they end up playing stuff they don't like.
They're controlled.
And that's what we hear on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Like, any good DJ, you know, and basically from the history of DJing, is you're playing what you like.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like Will.i.am. All of a sudden, he's a DJ now. Like, okay, I thought you were a producer, and all of a sudden, 2-3 months ago, you started, you know, like, DJing. It's like, okay, and I heard that he's, like, not that good, but I mean, hey, it's from Black Eyed Peas. You can't knock on him. He is making his money, too. He's keeping it real, you know? If DJing was his first passion, and then he started producing, and then he started DJing again, I mean, I understand, but I mean, from what I heard, is like people are like, oh wow, he's a DJ now.
Yeah, well, I didn't hear that, but I mean, the Black Eyed Peas, when they first came out, I loved them
because
they were so hip hop. You know, they did all the four elements. Like, you know, I didn't see the DJing on their videos, but their dancing was pretty cool.
The
break dancing and their old school kind of vibe, and they were hip hop, and they were doing their own little take on it. And it's got a little bit more and more commercial.
Yeah, it's more pop now.
As it's gone along. Yeah. And some people have, you know, me included, have bashed them for that. But you know, who are we to bash them for it? They've got their fans.
Oh, yeah.
And if that's what they want to do, and that's what the kind of music they want to produce, then they're still hip hop.
Oh, yeah.
Although it's geared away from, you know, what I would play on Dope FM. But, you know, I don't know if we can diss them so much.
Oh, maybe not, man. Maybe not. We might need them later on.
Maybe. But it's just interesting about the pickiness. You know, sometimes, you know, I think we need to be picky first off, because, you know, this is a Dope FM, and like, we're not going to play everything. And you know, ChaseMarch.com, I gotta be selective.
Oh, you have to, guys.
Yeah, and any DJ worth his soul is going to be selective with what he plays. You can't just put every song on iTunes and hit play and walk away from your computer. That's not being a DJ.
That's what's like, being picky and having an ear, a trained ear, I would say, is, I think, what separates you from the bunch, you know, and that's what, you know, gets you a little more, you know, noticed and stuff. Like, oh wow, you know, he plays this, you know, and it's actually a little, it's grooving, you know. I could get into it, and these other DJs play what I listen to on the radio on the way to school or on the way to work, and you know, in some certain situations it's cool, but I mean, you just gotta have that ear, man. You gotta kind of expose what people really don't listen to, but it's still kind of catchy, you know. You gotta know what you're playing, though.
Definitely. So, if there's any wannabe DJs out there right now listening, and I'm sure there is.
Yes, a lot. Yes, a lot.
What kind of advice could you give to someone just starting out, and they go, I want to be a DJ?
Do it for the love of it. Don't do it because you're going to get girls and $1 million and money and, you know, do it because you love to do it. And if it takes you somewhere, okay. But, I mean, if it doesn't, I mean, you can't really knock on it, you know. I mean, you gotta be true. You gotta be loyal to the music. You really have to be the music, you know. You have to be you. Be you, and that's it. That's all you gotta do. Just don't follow. Be a leader. Don't follow just because everybody else is DJing and there's, you know, 15 DJs on every block. That's really not cool, guys, at all. And I know a bunch of guys that just started DJing just because. All of a sudden, just because all these other producers are coming up, and yeah, I don't know, it's phony to me, man. Those guys are phony, and I'm sorry to say it like that, guys. Like, I love for you, but don't do it because, you know, because you're following, you know, certain people. Just do it because you want to do it and you love to do it.
Definitely. That's good advice. And take your own style and create something new. Like, you know, that's what the whole culture's about. You take snippets of something and create a new, like, Rob Swift's latest album.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard that?
I haven't heard all of it. I heard a couple.
Yeah, it's pretty nice what he's taking the classical music and just chopping it up and doing something kind of interesting with that. And, like, haven't really heard that before. So there's all sorts of different ways you can take it. So pretty cool. All right, well, this has been a pleasure sitting down talking with you. I'm looking forward to the show tonight.
Thank you.
Seeing you spin live there, and it should be a nice show.
Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. This is Chase March signing off. Don't forget to check chasemarch.com for the podcast of this and the transcript.
Yes.
All right. Peace, y'all.
Peace.
that was Rob Swift, Rabia Second Movement, off his new album, The Architects. Rob Threasy and I were just talking about that song a little bit earlier in the interview, and that artist. I don't know what it is, but why are DJs named Rob? Anyway, it was a pleasure sitting down with Rob Threasy. Hope you enjoyed our discussion and how we talked about DJ culture. And we referenced Rob Swift because I really like what Rob was able to do on this album. Rob himself says that the album was very deliberately laid out and it tells a story and you should listen to it from the very beginning to the very end. And I think he was actually reluctant about releasing that song as a single. But he did, and there's a nice video to it, and it gets you right into what he's trying to do with classical music there. So he's using the turntable and creating something brand new with it. And that's what DJs do. And before that, we played Pretty Lights, a song called Future Blind. Now, Pretty Lights, I've been hearing their name up all over the place lately. They've been making a lot of noise, those guys, doing production for a lot of different things. They got their own things going on, too, so kind of cool. And before that, we played one more track by Rob Threasy called The Chase. That wasn't his first song, but that song is one that got him a lot of attention. And from there, he hasn't looked back. He's been dropping tracks and appearing everywhere for the past 2 years. So go check him out, Rob Threasy. He gave you the contact information a little bit earlier, but once again, that'll be up on my blog and the podcast, so go check out chasemarch.com. I've been having a lot of fun doing these artist interviews. If you go to chasemarch.com, a tab at the top, artist interviews, if you click on that, there's about a dozen interviews up there, and I've done rap groups, I've done rock groups, I've done pop groups, so it's kind of cool to be able to actually have a musical taste and be able to listen to different things that, you know, I don't want to be pigeonholed and just listen to rap. I mean, there was a point in my life where I did, and it's kind of cool that I've expanded a little bit more, and I'm open to more things than I used to be. Now, I haven't really been to a rave party. I don't really get into techno music or anything like that, but it was quite the experience to go to this show and see what these DJs do and talk to the DJs and just see their passion for it, even though it's a little bit different than my own. So that being said, if you're an artist out there and you want to be heard, hit me up. I'm open to listening to your stuff. And if I like it, I'm open to sitting down with you and doing an interview. And the cool thing about that is your interview is going to be on my blog. It's going to be on the podcast. And if it fits enough with Dope FM, it can end up on 93.3 CFMU as well. I'm trying to make some moves, maybe get my interviews played in some other places too. So hope you like what you've been listening to. I've been having a lot of fun bringing it to you. This is Chase March, and we were talking to Rob Threasy today. If you like his stuff, go hit him up, find out his information, go to his MySpace, check out some of his tracks. All right, thanks a lot for tuning in. This is Chase March, and I guess I'm out of here for the day. All right, peace.